All right, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Doing the Thing podcast. Again, I'm Jason Madden, and I'm joined by Phil Macko here today. And today we want to talk about some myths in franchising. When we work with our clients and they hear the word franchising, typically we go to French fries, fast food, and things like that. Well, some of you that know us have probably heard this quite a number of times, but we want to talk more about some of these myths that are out here and what it actually means in franchising, and what it means for you as a business owner. Because at the end of the day, as a franchisee, you are still an owner of your business. So before I forget, Phil, welcome in today. Tell us a little bit about your thoughts on some of these myths.
Yeah, I think this is an important topic, and think of it in the context of vehicles. There are many vehicles to success. One can be the job market. If, however, the field you're in, the industry you're in, the company you're with, if it's tenuous, if there's merger acquisitions, maybe you're looking at the job market and exploring other ideas. Maybe you thought about entrepreneurship. Franchising is one vehicle to entrepreneurship, and it's something that many people associate with McDonald's and Subway, and yeah, of course, but it spans across about 75 different industry sectors. And those perceptions, and I think it's correctly said, sunlight is the best disinfectant. Whether or not it's right for you, only you can determine, but getting good facts and data, like we'll share with you in this call, will help you in that determination. And that's really, you know, my goal for today's call.
I love it. So Let's kind of, I'll go ahead and stop sharing this. We all kind of got that slide now, and I'll guide us through this a little bit, Phil, but let's start with the first one. Finding the right business will make me successful. I think that's a huge myth. I deal with this a lot with some of my clients where, hey, you know, this, I need to find the perfect fit. You know, I don't think that's necessarily true. I think in my opinion, the business should be the vehicle towards your goals. And whether or not this business can accomplish those goals should be what you're focusing on rather than this passion project. And I've spoken about this a couple of years ago about the yoga instructor. The yoga instructor, hey, I'm a yogi. I'm going to do all this training and all this stuff to become this really successful, famous yoga instructor. Well, if you look at per capita on yoga instructors and how much they make every year, and those that own their own businesses, it's not very much. You know, maybe it's around $10,000 a year, to be honest. It's really low unless you get lucky. But that's the passion project. So if you're working on towards your passion, then hey, maybe you'll be happy, but you're not maybe not going to be making as much money as you want. And so if the income goal is there, you might be missing the mark a little bit on going towards that passion projects. And also turning your passion into a business is the fastest way of turning it into a job. And it's the fastest way of kind of losing that passion. What do you think about that, Phil?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. That being said, the only harm in pursuing a passion is if you have tunnel vision with regard to the other things you're open to exploring. Yeah, if you want to be a yoga instructor and that's really your passion, figure out what that business takes. Look at the per capita income, look at the market, the demographics, all those other things. At the same time, compare and contrast it with other business models, maybe outside of that passion play, and determine for yourself which is going to be the vehicle to perform best for you. If money isn't an object, which is rarely the case, and you want to be a yoga teacher, or you want to do sound healing meditation, and that's what speaks to your soul, by all means do it, but do it based on good information. That's, I think, what we're really trying to say here.
I think so. And you know, I think that covers number one and number two. Finding the right business will make me successful. And the secret to success in business is finding a franchise doing something that I love. And so I think those two myths are some of the biggest ones out there in franchising, because finding that right business, you know, there's no such thing as a perfect business. You're never going to find the perfect business, but you're going to find something that you're going to find enjoyment out of doing. You're going to find something that's in alignment with your skills, alignment with your talents, and you're already successful. If you're already looking at starting a business, you've probably experienced a number of successes, and you already have the skills to do it. It's just a matter of finding that system that jives with your skills.
Yeah, 100%. Think of it in the context, whether you're married or you're in a relationship, right? In the dating phase, that person is perfect in your eyes. You just, everything they do is wonderful and amazing. And as they get to know you and you get to know them, we all are human beings. We all have flaws. We all have certain things that our partners may wish we could change, but they're not material to the relationship. There's enough in the core of that relationship to make it worthwhile and longstanding in nature, right? And the same thing should be considered for a business. You may not love every aspect of what happens, but at the end of the day, does it hit 80, 90% of your work-life balance goals, your passions, your day in the life vision for what you want the workday to be like? Does it accomplish what you want to financially? And there's a lot of people that have made great money with porta potty businesses. Not a business I want to get into, but if it performs in the way you need it to and gives you the freedom to travel with predictable income, maybe it's not so bad.
Yeah, it's not so bad. I mean, compare it to a coaching business or a consulting business or something where it's just you. Those businesses, you know, the trade-off is lower overhead, more of your income stays in your pocket because you don't have a big payroll and you don't have brick and mortar and things like that. But the trade-off is you're kind of the X factor in that business versus doing something like that on the Port-A-John side. You know, you can dictate, you can delegate and take some more of your time. You know, it might take a little bit of more effort in the front end, getting that business up and running, but after a year or so, you're taking a lot of that time back and you're reaping the rewards.
Yep. And I want to move on to the conversation around royalties, because many people in their minds say, well, I have to pay an upfront fee. And by the way, that upfront franchise fee goes towards setting you up in the business, building your website, getting you trained, and the ongoing support. But the royalty, some people have issues with. If you think about the traditional mindset for investments, right? Investments into the stock market, market dependent, economy dependent, company dependent. You think about another play, which is real estate, right? Well, I many people think like, hey, I'm going to go acquire additional rental properties and that'll generate income. Those rental properties can be subject to HOA fees. They need to be landscaped and gardened and house cleaned, right? There's property taxes. There's other implications built into that. And you should think about royalties in a similar way. Yeah. The royalties go towards the organization that's supporting you. And until you learn the level of support from the organization that royalty enables you to enjoy, you don't have a perspective on it. For instance, they have national procurement agreements in a lot of cases, right? The buying power of a collective group of people, something you benefit from. That's part of what the royalties go towards, is people negotiating those deals, right? Yep. Sometimes there is customer service 24/7. Things you'd need to put in place yourself for a business you started, that should be where the royalty money's going. Those things outside of what you focus on that support and grow your business, right?
Right. And I think that goes hand in hand with that initial licensing franchise fee that you pay. A lot of people think that is income to the franchisor. You're paying them to be a part of the business, but it goes beyond that. It goes well beyond that. Most franchisors that are truly doing the traditional franchise model don't make money off of that. They make money off of those royalties. So your success is paramount to them growing and being successful as well. So that franchise fee, it's put towards the manpower to get you started, to get you set up in your business, technology-wise, coaching, training, all of those things. That's where that's going to. It's not necessarily you're just paying them just to be there.
Yeah. And sometimes as you're going through discovery, you hear things that say, wow, this is a fabulous opportunity. There must be a catch, right? And the truth is, when you have the chance to review a franchise disclosure document, they are federally required to disclose turnover numbers. If people have not been successful in their model, that has to be a part of their disclosures, right? So the idea that royalties just go to the mothership and a franchise just wants to sell franchises and maybe they won't support me down the road, number one, you can find that out in the FDD and doing validation calls with others. But number two, and more importantly, it really is true that it's a symbiotic relationship. Your success determines their success and vice versa. So keep that in context. And, you know, if you're in discovery working with either Jason or I, we'll help you get those access to that data to take a look for yourself.
Yeah, we'll curate that validation for you, make sure you're getting the information you need so you can make that educated choice. So another one of these myths, I'm cherry picking them now because some of these are a little bit more interesting than others. Owning a franchise is like having a boss. The franchisor will dictate everything. Not true. Not true. In fact, when we talk about failure numbers, a lot of those are attributed to franchisees that are not following that system. And a lot of franchisors will guide you and they'll tell you, hey, this is what works for us. We strongly recommend, since you put this money and invested this much money into this business, that you follow that system so that you can be successful. Those that don't follow that tend to be in the lower percentile in that franchise business. But they're not there to boss you around. They're not there to stimulate your creativity or anything like that. In fact, creativity in franchising has started all the way back in McDonald's with the Big Mac. You know, the Big Mac was created by a franchisee. So what the benefit of that is, that's one franchise that, you know, produced that Big Mac. They can actually use the corporate model in franchising to test that product across the nation. And hey, you know, it's a win-win for everybody. So imagine if you didn't have that creativity, but somebody else did, you get the benefit from that.
Yeah. Those of you listening, ask yourself a question. How many of you use GPS when you're traveling to somewhere perhaps you've never been before, or you're traveling to a place you've been before, but you want to get a view of the traffic and the best, most effective route to get there, right? We all do that. If we were walking across to our neighbor and our neighbor said, if you follow this trail, you're going to be fine. But if you step to the right or to the left, there's poison ivy there. If you're allergic to poison ivy, you'd follow the path, right? So think of a franchise system in the same way as you do GPS. It's a freeway system with 8 lanes. And if you stay within the lanes, because they have tested and tried, because they've made mistakes and refined, especially the more long-term and established organizations, they've already figured out what doesn't work. And their system is built on what does work. So you still have a ton of freedoms. You can roam those 8 lanes. But if you get outside of those lanes, you're going to step in poison ivy.
Yeah, it's a risk that you take. You know, it's a calculated risk that you should think really hard about before doing that, before trying to find that shortcut, because maybe it's not there. Maybe it's full of poison ivy, like you said. What else? So anyway, they're not going to dictate it. They're going to train you. They're going to show you what works and what doesn't work with that system. And most likely, they're going to coach you too. They're going to coach you every step of that way and be that educated advisor for you. Now, when it comes to, you know, financing, you know, when people think about franchising, they think about, like, I hate to keep using McDonald's, but, you know, large upfront costs, like in the millions or close to the millions. And that's not always the case. And you don't have to have millions of dollars to be a franchisee and to be a part of a successful franchise network or brand. There's financing available. There's so much going on today in the world as far as financing for businesses. Yeah, money's not very cheap at the moment, but that fluctuates, that changes, and creativity is part of that entrepreneurial spirit. And I'll tell you, I have a client right now who is struggling a little bit with you know, credit and things like that. But he had a good job. He was doing the things that he needed to do to improve that credit, improve his good standing with the bank and everything like that. But he didn't want to wait for that. And he used his entrepreneurial creativity to find organizations within his community that are actually on board to help him fund. And that's going to be happening very soon. And so it's not all doom and gloom. And yeah, maybe as coaches, we don't have all the answers, but we're definitely going to give you some ideas on where to look and how to do that.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting getting back to my analogy on rental properties, right? It seems such a no-brainer because you've heard of people making money having second homes that they rent out, whatever it may be, vacation rental or long-term rental. And what do you do when you consider that as an option in investment? You look at the neighborhood, you look at the crime statistics, you look at the school district and you know how good it is, you look at neighbors' properties. Use that same thinking. And by the way, the majority of franchise systems are less than investing in a rental property, right? But because that is such a well-established thought in everybody's mind, they don't often consider it in that same way. The biggest difference is, as opposed to being market dependent, interest rate dependent, neighborhood dependent, the factors really fall on you and how you operate and the strength of the franchisor. And if you just take that rental property analogy and compare and contrast how a rental property might grow in equity versus a business you're involved in might grow in equity, you naturally, if a rental property you're looking at is a great buy for you and your family, what are you going to do? You're either going to pay cash or go to a bank, right? Yeah. Same thing in a business you're involved in. You're going to pay cash, you're going to go to a bank. It is a vehicle and it is an investment vehicle that has the potential to perform for you and build wealth for you.
Yeah, I actually heard a statistic today about investments. So investments and business ownership as an investment, more precisely. And in franchising, the majority, the large majority, 65 to 75% have a 20% per capita return on their investment, and they continuously grow. And there's a trend with franchisors these days where, hey, if we can't grow our system and make it bigger, we're going to double down on the people that are already here. And they're already doing that while they're growing too, doubling down on the people that are already on that system so that they can all match that 20% growth. And it's a great trend that's happening today. I think COVID and pandemic stuff kind of kickstarted that, because when you think about being in business by yourself, and something like a recession or a pandemic kicks off, you're kind of alone. You might have some government programs and stuff like that that can help you out. We all know those and how those were kind of abused. But with the franchise side, you've got that corporation and that company and all these other franchisees working together to make that growth continue and to continue those businesses regardless of what's going on in the world.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. And I wasn't aware of that study, so thank you for sharing that.
I'll send you the link.
You know, as with anything, to kind of bring us to closure, as with anything, if you're open-minded to learn, information is the best possible way to make a decision. Making an informed decision, really getting together your facts, talking with people, number one, who are objective, number two, who have your best interest in mind, and number three, who have expertise in sharing insights to the questions you may have. And at the end of the day, if we make this decision where we sit in a bar stool next to somebody and we say, I'm thinking about a business, and they say, oh, you don't want to do that. My uncle failed. He had a donut shop and blah, blah, blah. You're welcome to make a decision based on an anecdotal bar stool conversation, but we encourage you not to. And we actually foster the sharing of good firsthand information to help you reach clarity on what's right for you.
Yeah, it goes back to that, hey, if you're going to look for the bad, you're going to find the bad. If you look for the good, you're going to find the good. But the goal is to be objective and be analytical about it so that you can have those analytical judgments and decisions, right? So we covered 7 myths. I think we actually probably covered 10. I wasn't really keeping count. And there's probably more out there. There's so many out there, so many misconceptions about franchising and business ownership in general. Maybe we'll revisit this topic again in a couple months and see what else you know, comes up within our coaching conversations that maybe we can share with the rest of you. But anyway, we enjoyed these episodes. We're happy that you're here listening to us, and we hope you come back again and you share this episode and subscribe and all that good stuff. So thank you again, Phil. Have a good one. See y'all next week.
Thank you, buddy.